book of Leviticus, chapter number 6. And I'd like to start reading in verse number 8. There the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. The fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar. He shall put them beside the altar. He shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. He shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings." And verse number 13 that I'm so excited about. "The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out." You may be seated this morning. I'm interested in that phrase. "The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, and it shall never go out." We've been preaching a series of messages on the fire. And we've entitled this series, "Bible Fires." A lot of fires broke out in the Bible. We've seen the book of Exodus and the burning bush, the witness of the fire of Moses. Then we've seen the word of fire and Jeremiah's bones, how it broke out all over him. Then we've seen the working of the fire where there the barley fields was set on fire. Boy, God can set that barley field afire to get your attention. He does a lot of work by fire in order to orchestrate things in our life. But now this morning I want to continue on this thought, watching the fire. Watching the fire. He said the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar and it shall never go out. Well, on this thought this morning of the watching of the fire, I want us to look at a few things. I want us to, first of all, to watch the emblems of the fire. The emblems of the fire. What does this fire stand for in the Bible? Well, I want you to notice, first of all, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 4, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 4, and I want you to notice that God is a consuming fire. The emblems of fire. First of all, we see God is a consuming fire. Deuteronomy 4 and verse number 24. There the Bible said, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." And He is jealous this morning. He's not going to take back seat to nobody or no thing. If He can't be the God of your life, He won't be the God at all. And certainly we see the emblems of fire. We see that God had an emblem. He is a consuming fire. We see also in the book of Exodus, chapter number 13, if you turn with me there in the Bible, look at these emblems of fire and what they stood for. But in the book of Exodus, chapter number 13, you'll notice that God orchestrated a lot of things by the emblem of fire. You'll see in Exodus chapter number 13 and verse number 21. Here God has went and delivered His children out of the land of Egypt under the bondage of Pharaoh. And He starts with the 3.5 million people that's walking across that Sinai desert. The Bible said, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. And by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So we see that God's emblem is He is a God of fire. The Bible said He's a consuming fire and a jealous God. So we see there on the emblem of the fire, God's emblem is fire. Boy, I'm reminded of Elijah, and he went down to Ahab, and he got to preaching to folks like Jezebel. All them old prophets of Baal came around. God put a fiery message in his bones. And there upon the mountain that day, Elijah, the prophets of Baal, they got in a battle. They got in a little contest. Elijah said, well, I tell you what, said, this God that you boys are so proud of, said, I want you to stack all the wood in order and let the God that answers by fire be God. And so all the prophets of Baal, they got their wood in order, and they probably went and got them a couple of good gallons of kerosene behind the scene. But the Holy Ghost was sure it wouldn't be no fire fall on that sacrifice that evening. Lord Elijah made fun of them. He said, now boys, call down your fire. He said, I'm going to give you to 12 o'clock and see if your God can answer by fire. Boy, they chanted and they made potions and they done witchcraft. They rubbed their sticks together and they cut themselves with sticks and stones, but their God didn't answer by fire. Why? Because their God wasn't the God that answers by fire. The boy Elijah liked what he done. He said, I tell you what we'll do. Let's get down here to the altar and let's put the sacrifice on it, and you boys dig us a trench round about it and go get me 4 barrels of good cold country water. Somebody say amen right there. He said, I tell you what you do. You empty them 4 barrels of water in the trench, and that's not enough. Somebody go fill them up again. They poured them out and made 8 barrels. But he looked and the water was running in the trench. The Bible said, Elijah cried and said, it's not enough. Go get 4 more. Boy, it's been 12 barrels of water now done poured on the wood. He just sat back and he said, sick them, Holy Ghost, and called down the fire of heaven. The Bible said that the offering was consumed by the great God of heaven. I'm going to tell you this morning, the emblem, He is the God that answers by fire. He's a consuming fire. I'm glad I know Him this morning in His consumption in my life. Now I'm telling you the emblem. We see that God the Father stood with fire. Then notice, if you would, God the Son on the Isle of Patmos. Revelation chapter number 1, John was in the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's Day. He was out there having camp meeting all by himself. Just with Him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But in Revelation chapter number 1, in verse 13, let's look, not only does God have an emblem of fire, but the Son has an emblem of fire. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 13. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps of a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Not only do we see the Father's emblem is with fire, but you'll see the Son has an emblem of fire. And then if you would, notice this. The Bible said in the book of Matthew, chapter number 3, notice the Holy Ghost emblem of fire. Matthew chapter number 3, verse number 11. John cried these familiar words, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now John was the water baptizer. But the Holy Ghost is the fire baptizer. You'll notice also in your Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, there the Bible reads, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues." I'm telling you this morning, not only does God the Father and God the Son, but you'll see here God the Holy Ghost, His emblem is with fire. For they all three are one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. So we see watching the emblems of fire. But then secondly, I want you to notice the energy of fire. Fire has great strength. Fire has great power. And here on not only watching the emblems of the fire, but I want you to notice the energy of fire. Now, I want you to take this thought home with you this morning. First of all, fire consumes. It does not destroy. John the Baptist said this in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 3. Turn with me over there. We'll be there just a minute. Matthew chapter number 3. And in verse number 1, I want you to look at the energy of the fire. Boy, fire has great energy. It has great power. I met the man that's over the head of Georgia Power down at those great pumping stations off the Chattahoochee. I said, "Boy, y'all sure do pull a lot of water through that for power." He said, "Well, we really don't." He said, "Well, but we sure do burn a lot of coal." So what are you saying? I'm saying the energy of fire brings great power. You and I got up this morning, we flipped on the light because of the energy of the fire. You and I sat in a building this morning that is bright and it's light and everything's comfort. Why? Because it's all by fire. And all the energy. Now notice John the Baptist. He was consumed but not destroyed. You know, a lot of people, they get destroyed instead of consumed. And I want you to notice now in the text of Matthew 3, and in one, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. He wasn't in the First Baptist down on 2nd Avenue. He was in the wilderness. Saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey." There's a lady come visit one time when we first started. We was in the storefront building. She said, "The only thing," said, "when that preacher got lathered up and a spitting and a snotting and a running and crying," said, "thought sure that he's going to come out with a leather girdle and locusts between his teeth." Well, I say, hallelujah. I'm glad somebody's still a-preaching in the day and hour that we live. Amen. Like old colored preacher said, "Should I just for the glory of God get a witness?" Amen. So he said the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loin, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. I mean, they turned out to hear what he had to say. They were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers." Now, why does folks think that preachers can't have guts to say what they need to say? You know what he said? He said, "Hey, what you doing coming around here? You ain't got no business down here. You don't know what we're doing." He said, "You bunch of vipers." He said, "You bunch of devils." He didn't go home, eat his lunch, and talk about them. He just told the whole congregation, "You bunch of vipers." That's what he said. "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meets for repentance. Think not to say within yourselves, we've Abrahamed our father. For I say you that
God's able these stones to raise up children to Abraham. He talked about the axe that's laid. He said, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, what are you talking about with the energy of fire? Well, I want you to notice, first of all, that loneliness didn't destroy him. A lot of people, loneliness totally get all the fire out of them, and they just quit for the glory of God. I'm talking about the energy of fire. I'm talking about you really got the fire that burns on the altar of your heart inside of you. It will give you energy to keep a going on for the good glory of God. Now, John was in a great predicament. First of all, loneliness did not destroy him. Secondly, hardships didn't destroy him. He didn't have nice clothes. He didn't have a nice car. He didn't have nice steaks at Outback or top of the river to eat at. He was doing the best he could. But I tell you one thing, he was not destroyed, but he was consumed by the fire of God. The energy of the fire. Some of you need that energy in your lives this morning. You need that energy in your home. You need that energy in your job. You need this great energy that fire brings to keep you going. Now, John, he had this great energy. He was consumed. Loneliness did not deplete him. Hardships did not deplete him. Then the period of long waiting, he was out there in the desert for many days. No doubt hadn't heard an answer from anybody, hadn't seen anybody. And oh, how lonely he must have got. But I tell you one thing, he was communicating with somebody that filled up his heart from loneliness. I'm going to tell you this morning, the period of long waiting. Fourthly, the lack of ministry opportunities didn't deplete him. I know some preachers that if they don't get to preach four or five times a month, well, they just say, well, God's left me and forgot about me. And they get so down on the self and nearly just put their Bible in the closet and quit. Maybe some of you, you want to be a blessing and minister. Just wait on your opportunity. And then financial suffering didn't destroy him. He didn't have a lot. A lot of times we think when we haven't got a lot left over this week, it just totally just depletes us. But I'll tell you something that John had. John had a fire burning in his heart, in his soul, that consumed him, that didn't destroy him. Now, let me ask you something. That burning bush, this thing always hedges back to Exodus chapter number 2 and 3 there. But let me ask you something. That bush wasn't destroyed, but it was consumed. I hear a lot of people saying, well, I got burnt out. Well, you ain't got the right fire. So see, God's fire consumes. It don't destroy. Here this morning, the energy of the fire. But then thirdly, hurriedly going on, talking about watching of the fire. He said, look, don't you let that thing go out. But here the watching of the fire. We see the emblems of fire. Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, they all have the emblem of fire. The energy of fire. Boy, it kept John the Baptist going. It kept Joseph going. It kept Noah going. It kept Job going. Why? Because they were consumed with this fire. What keeps you going? Your checkbook? Your job? Your popularity? Your looks? Your dress? Your car? Your hobbies? Or is there something down inside you that gets you back? Makes you keep going, talking right, dressing right, acting right, singing right, praying right? Oh, the fire, it ought to consume us. The emblem of fire, the energy of fire. But then thirdly, the enjoyment of fire. Boy, fire is a blessing, you know that? I mean, there is nothing that I like no better than to walk in an old cabin with an old crackling, smelling fire. And it don't take you long to figure out that I'm from the country. But I'm going to tell you what, these gas logs just don't do it, Brother Jerry. They just don't do it. You know, they're pretty and they flicker a little bit, but they just ain't a fire. And you know, everything that I've been looking at the last couple of years, every manufacturer is trying to copy that fire. They just can't copy. I know a lot of folks, and I don't want to get ahead of next week's message. But I'm going to be preaching on wildfire next time. A lot of folks trying to get something that ain't real. We're not talking about the enjoyments of a real fire and a blessing. My wife can't stand for me to build a fire in that house. We was coming back yesterday from Tennessee. I said, I'm going to pull them gas logs out of our fire. I'm going to go back to building a fire. And she went to pouting the rest 150 miles. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about once you've really been around a real fire, nothing else to do. It's just a blessing. I love to smell it. I love to hear it. It ain't nothing like cracking and popping. Burnt. I love to get them old punching poles just punching the fire. Oh, what are you saying? Talking about the enjoyment of the fire. Oh, it's such a blessing. The wonders of the fire. It's just amazing to me how I can just sit and get in that recliner and throw my feet up and just watch that fire burn. I mean, it's so enjoy. I mean, the wonders of the fire is so enjoy. The wonders of the fire. The warmth of the fire. You know, a lot of times I never did know I was that cold when I got by the fire. I told y'all last week, it's been through my mind the whole week. I guess somebody needs to get by the fire, all I know, or God had me preaching on something else. But we went over here into a little old place down in Woodland. It was cold. Me and Miss Renee had been out just to loaf around, walked in. Now, I didn't know I was that cold, but this old fella had a fire going. This stopped me in my tracks. I'm talking about the warmth of the fire. I mean, that thing drew me. And I found myself quit looking at everything in there. I just backed up through his fire. I guess he thought I was crazy. No, I was cold. And you know, a lot of you this morning in your life, you're so cold. You're looking for something to fulfill you. These members of my family, and I'm preaching by experience. There's been days gone by that I was looking for things of the world. I was looking for the things that the devil would give me that might fulfill that cold heart that I had, that woman. But you know, all the things of the devil would take me up here. But then when I come down, all of my problems, all that coldness was sitting there waiting right where that I'd left. But you know, when I met the baptizer by fire, boy, he's done something in my heart I've never got over. The enjoyments of the fire. Oh, ain't it a blessing, the wonder of the fire, but the warmth of the fire. Ain't it a blessing to come to an old-fashioned altar that's filled with fire. Ain't it a blessing to hear a choir that's singing filled with fire. Ain't it a blessing to get around a man of God that's filled with fire that's a preacher. Ain't it a blessing to hear somebody praying that's filled with fire. I'm telling you, it's just wonderful to be around the fire. Sometimes I get up here, I can't even see. I mean, it's just a blessing to be around the fire. The wonder of the fire, the warmth of the fire. But now I don't want you to miss the works of the fire. It takes something to keep the fire going. That's why I went and got gas logs, because cutting wood on Saturday. It's work keeping a fire. I mean, it is work. I'm talking about genuinely out cutting wood, busting wood, toting it in the house and sweeping your tracks out is work. We just go over and flip on a thermostat and say, glory to God. But I'm afraid that we miss something. The work of the fire. It takes something to keep a fire burning. The enjoyments of fire. But now I want to close with this morning on the meat of this text. And I want you to notice the extinguishing of the fire. The extinguishing of the fire. He said, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar and it shall never go out. Now from this fire was all other fires lit. This fire burned in the temple. This was a place 24 hours, 7 days a week, burned continually. You know why? The priest would come in, he would lay the sacrifice on the fire of the altar for the sin of the people of the congregation, and the fire would consume that sacrifice. The Bible said he'd take them ashes and rake them off the altar and put them beside. Oh, it was an intense work. It was a great pleasure to come to a place that a fire was burning continually. But he told us something. He said, you better watch the extinguishing of the fire. He said, you better be careful and don't let the fire die. I can tell you countless churches this morning that's so cold that they need a fire burn. I can tell you countless Christians this morning that they sit around and let the fire go out. Now, it's two ways that a fire goes out. And I want to leave this thought with you this morning. It's two ways. The way you can extinguish a fire. First of all, by smothering. By smothering. In 1981, the day I got saved, God lit me a fire. Those folks come by and told me and said, Brother John, that's going to wear off you. Right now you're running, crying, shouting. You're enjoying God, but it's coming a day that's going to wear off you. They lied, Brother John. But I'm going to tell you what, it has taken work to keep this fire going. And there's ways that the extinguishing of the fire can happen. First of all, it can go out by smothering. You can smother a fire out. And I'm going to tell you this, a lot of times the devil will try to smother your fire by defeat. Oh, I'm going to tell you, the defeats of life, the devil loves to smother your fire. Now, I'm talking about putting the fire out. I'm talking about the fire in our heart that the Holy Ghost has put in there and set a fire. But I'm going to tell you, it can be smothered out. The Bible said, quench not the Spirit. And what are you saying? Oh, yeah, it can be smothered by defeat. You know, a lot of times the devil laughs at us and we're defeated. But you know something? Did you know men and boys on a football field, every time they got their feet knocked out from under them and landed flat of their face, if they just laid there, they never would make nothing happen. But you know what they do? They get up and they brush yourself off. Any of you ever just been walking around and fall down in public? That's a blessing, isn't it? I mean, walk around, all of a sudden you just fall down. You know all you can do? You can brush yourself off. And get up. And the devil would love to defeat you this morning and make it so long and lasting. Every time you get up, he's going to smother your fire by defeat. Ah, you didn't make that, did you? Ah, you failed at that, didn't you? Oh, you didn't arrive there, did you? Boy, that didn't work, did it? Boy, he would love to smother you with defeat. He would love to smother you with discouragement. A lot of you, me included, get so brokenhearted. Boy, how the devil would just love to smother our fire. Thank God for folks like Brother Donald that stand up and kick the blanket off the fire and say, glory to God. I'm talking about that fire can be smothered. And if you're not careful, your fire will go out. Oh, I'm going to tell you, the devil would love to smother your fire out. Now, I said it's two ways that fire can go out. One is by smothering, and then second is by lack of fuel. You've got to feed a fire to keep it afire. Now, you notice the Bible said that these priests was to go every morning and put wood on that fire. When's the last time you got along with your Bible and put some wood on the fire? You'll spend 8 hours a night watching CNN, HBO. You'll watch all of them things on that one-eyed devil. And your fire is burning out because there's no wood to go on that fire. You know, little old boys in Tennessee would camp out, and it's something we never would let happen. You better not let the fire go out. We took watches. We took shifts. 4 hours at a time. Two things was to happen during that shift. One, you're supposed to stir that fire, keep it going. You put more wood on the fire. Don't let the wood burn out of the fire. Well, if the fire goes out by smothering, it can also go out by the lack of fuel. When's the last time you really got alone with God? This morning, you know what happened to me in my life at home? I woke up at 7 o'clock.
And some of the most wonderful times is when I ease in that study, nobody else around, not a sound, no place, just me and God. You know what he'll do? He'll start putting wood on that fire. You know something? When you come to the house of God, if there's a fire going, that'll put wood on your fire. I've heard of people, well, we start missing Sunday morning. We can't miss it. But Sunday night, we'll start missing a little Sunday night. Before long, Wednesday night don't mean nothing. Then before long, next Sunday morning don't mean nothing. And then before long, your fire's out. And you're so cold. And them little old kids that you're supposed to be raising, boy, it'd be bad to be raised in a house with no heat. I mean, we go to extremes about being sure the heat ain't going to go out in our house. What about in our spiritual house? Daddies, let me ask you something. Is your fire this morning, is it just flickering? Maybe on the altar of your heart this morning, maybe there's a fire there that's just sitting there just sort of smoldering. Some of you sitting here and it's blazing. What are you saying? I'm talking about the extinguishing of this fire. You better be careful or the devil will put your fire. Now, preacher, my fire is out, but I want to get it back. How do I get it back? Well, first of all, repentance would be a good start. Did you know sin will put your fire out quicker than anything? I'm talking about just the sin of just being disobedient. By the way, did you know this Bible says that disobedience is worse than witchcraft? I mean, he says that if you're going to be disobedient, he says it's just as bad as taking a crystal ball and soothsaying and being a fortune teller. Sin will put your fire out, friend. It'll make you cold as a wedge. This world will put your fire out. Trying to run with the boys and the girls and be like the neighbor that you have no business being like. Trying to be somebody that God don't intend you to be or put your fire out quicker than anything. Being hateful to your brother and sisters or put your fire out just like that. But how do I get the fire going back? Well, repentance would be a good start. Well, to come around this altar this morning, lay some things on the altar, say, oh God, I wish you'd let it fall from heaven and consume that in my life. Repentance. Then secondly, reporting in. Oh yeah, praying. I'm going to tell you how to ignite a fire. Praying. I told some of you this. I don't mind telling it again. A young preacher called not long ago. He said, Brother Tim, our church has died. It's dead. Think nothing happened. It's dead. I said, when's the last time y'all got together and prayed? He said, we ain't done that long time. I said, try it. Well, guess what he said Christmas morning to me? Brother Ken, revivals broke out in our church. People's getting saved. Folks running around hugging and shouting, squalling all over each other. And he said, I tell you what we did, preacher. He said, I called 4 or 5 of my men together. We met down there at that church and went to pray until the fire fell. It'll work. When's the last time you really got along with God? I'm talking about instead of doing what you generally do, just wander out someplace, just you and the Lord, and let Him, I'm talking about throw some wood on the fire. Let Him just consume you. When you consume a fire, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters when you're consumed with Him. You know why churches fuss and fight? They're not consumed with fire. When you consume, things don't matter. Let me share with y'all, Karen. Repentance, reporting, rejoicing. What are you talking about, rejoicing? Brother Kent, how come you shout and carry on so much? Well, sometimes I just shout on credit. I do. Sometimes I shout just so I remember where I've been and where I'm headed. Oh, preacher, I ain't got nothing to shout about. Oh, you don't. Did God save you?
Well, I'm talking about rejoicing to start that fire back in your life. I'm talking about understanding that the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You ought to rejoice and thank heaven for what He's done for you in your life. It'll start that fire back. Then recognition. I tell you what'll get that fire burning. Give God the credit. You know why you riding in that nice car this morning? It ain't because you're so good in the business world. It's because the God of heaven let you ride up here this morning in a car. You know why you dress in a nice outfit? It's not because Santa Claus comes. It's because the God of heaven allowed you to have what you got on this morning. And we ought to give Him all the recognition. You know why we've got a good church? It ain't because you're a preacher, because you're leaders. But it's because the God of heaven has allowed us to have what we got. And sometimes you just ought to give Him the recognition. And you ought to say, Lord, thank You for dying for me on an old rugged cross. Dear God, thank You for not only saving me, but keeping me saved. God, thank You for one day that You left out on a cross, but You're coming back on a cloud. You ought to just recognize that He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The devil's not the boss. The devil's not in charge. The God of glory will light the fires of your soul.